Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics. And due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
Check, now.
Live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Thank God it's Friday. Now I see Dominic. I don't know if he can hear me. I don't know if he can speak to me.
I got no sound, fellas.
Well, I can hear you. So the good news is we know that Dominic's alive. We have proof of life. Anyways, perhaps he'll join us soon on the airwaves. But in the meantime, I'm just going to get started.
All right. There we go.
Okay. Well, welcome to the party.
Hey, what's up? Happy Friday. That one might have been on me. Happy Friday, fellas. Evan, Crudy, our fair audience. Wow, what a day.
You know, the last time I couldn't hear, it's because I didn't have the headphones turned on.
That's very helpful.
Well, someone had, like, turned off. Well, anyways, you know, the trials and tribulations of being talk radio gods. But anyways, welcome to the big show, the Friday edition. We air the grievances. You could air yours here. Incompetence occasionally, you know, if we're looking in the mirror, but whatever. Dom, at least we don't go out with a whimper like Steve Bannon. Misdemeanor from hell.
My ass.
Here's the one thing you can say about Steve Bannon. He is a man of his convictions.
Yes, he is convicted.
Well, breaking, Steve Bannon has been convicted two crimes. Contempt of Congress on two counts. And I thought there was a mandatory minimum, 30 days per?
30 days per count. So at least 60 days and perhaps up to 2 years.
I would say more likely 30 days at minimum. You'd give him concurrent sentences. Time off for good behavior, Dom?
What? No. And he is confident that he's going to somehow win this on appeal. It's on appeal. He's got a plan. He's going to appeal and then he'll win because why? What's the basis of an appeal? You didn't present any defense, right? You got overruled like four times in your closing arguments from the judge. What exactly are you going to use as a basis for an appeal? But good luck with that.
You know, also, we're going to do a January 6th recap, Dom. Josh Hawley, my takeaway from last night was what a wuss this guy is.
Yes.
The ever courageous, fist pumping, you go get him, you insurrectionist, treasonous bastards. Well, that was Josh Hawley, center. Well, he was doing that behind the protective lines, encouraging the crowd. And there was testimony last night that they were encouraged. They were fired up by Josh Hawley's, you know, tangible display.
Yeah, man on the inside. They're on our side. These are our people. Well, that's what they thought until what? The mob goes crazy and mob rules. All of a sudden, you're running away like a wuss.
Well, Dom, what did they say? Revenge is a dish best served cold.
Indeed.
I did not see the crap sandwich that they were going to hand Josh Hawley last night on the national television. I didn't see that one coming. I wonder if Hawley saw it coming because he was running like a bitch, Dom.
Running to the hills. Yes, great point. What's his name? Michael Fanone, the officer, one of the officers who testified, who was tased to the point of a heart attack, damn near died. He had something to say about it. Found this one on the Twitter feeds. It's reported also at NBC News. Before we get to that sound, though, it's pretty funny. Like you got to love the memes, right? You got to love the fact that although these are very difficult times, we can at least find some solace in some twisted humor, right? Let's hear a little bit.
In Josh Hawley's wussery, certainly we can.
Yes.
He was, and go ahead. Yes. You go.
NBC News, it touched off a flood of memes on social media, including a tweet by former Democratic Senator Al Franken showing Hawley running back and forth to the theme song of the Benny Hill Show, one of my favorites. The Lincoln Project, meanwhile, used the theme song from the running movie Chariots of Fire and Eye of the Tiger from Rocky III. In classic Twitter fashion, several people soundtracked the clip using Curb Your Enthusiasm. It led to outright mockery with Met Rep Adam Kinzinger. Of course, he was very prominent in the testimony yesterday in running this J6 committee. Referred to Hawley as Fist Pump McRun Pants. And DNC Chair Jamie Harrison tweeted out footage of Tom Hanks running from the movie Forrest Gump. Where is Josh Hawley this morning? Hashtag still running. But on the serious side of it... the remarks from Michael Fanone. We have that cut. Let's play cut number two, please, Evan.
Well, I mean, to be completely honest, to give you my, like, the first thoughts that popped into my mind was Josh Hawley is a and he ran like and the fist pump combined with what he did in the immediate aftermath just shows the true character or lack thereof.
There are reports that say, like, when they showed the video inside the hearing, people started kind of like giggling, laughing.
Oh yeah, there was an eruption of laughter. I mean, obviously I see like the amusement of it, and I'm not gonna fault people for finding it humorous, but that pisses me off. That guy's a clown. You see the way that these guys perform in public and then what they are in reality. You get a lot of that nonsense up here on Capitol Hill with these members of Congress that have become like a caricature in the media. But in reality, they have no character. They have no honor. They have no integrity. And the way they behave outside of the camera's eye is very different.
And I think that is, and I agree with Michael Fanone there, the lack of character. It is. They are clowns. It is an embarrassment. And while we can certainly find some of the humor and of course, the hypocrisy and all those things, a man with no honor and no character, no integrity, to rile up the crowd and then run away like a bitch when they come for you. I thought it was a great, great observation by a man who was obviously very impacted by this insurrection.
Dominic, he has been merchandising, you know, him with the fist, merchandising. Now I wonder if they, you know, featured the running man at the Josh Hawley merch store, right? You've done the running man, haven't you, Dom? The dance,
the Schwarzenegger one.
You know, Hawley, Josh Hawley,
according to the NBC, real quick, who was being interviewed on Fox News on an unrelated topic during the hearing, responded to all the criticism Friday morning. This is how Hawley responded, tweeting out a link to his campaign merch, coffee mug featuring a photo of the fist pump that says, "Show me strong." So, the gaslighting, it continues. They have not pulled back. They are still on the big lie. They are still on the gaslighting and the trolling. This is what the Republican Party with the megas now have to offer. And that is all they have to offer.
Is that all you have to offer, man? Because I'm trying to step on you. Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We're both so anxious. The crap and cast shade upon Josh Hawley. You know, he wants to run for president. He desperately wants to run for president.
Is that what he was doing when he was running away from the mob?
Well, let me tell you how he was described by the former RNC chair. A little bit of coverage from the Raw story, Dom. During an appearance on MSNBC on Friday morning, former Republican National Committee head Michael Steele claimed that Senator Josh Hawley was the recipient of a political emasculation. The beans and the franks. A little bit more courtesy of the House January 6th Committee investigating the Capitol insurrection. Speaking with host Katie Tour, Steele smirked while noting the never-seen-before video clip that showed the conversation the conservative lawmaker, fleeing the building at a very fast pace not too long after he expressed his solidarity with the insurrectionists as they massed outside the Congress. Katie, I'm going to quote Michael Steele. I don't often do that, but today I'm going to. Katie, that was just absolute political gold last night, Steele claimed. It was a complete and utter political emasculation. And if Twitter is any gauge, how you create a meme, that is it right here. You are a meme, Josh Hawley. You're not a man, you're a meme. A little bit more from Michael Steele. It really spoke volumes about the duplicitous nature of all of this. The kind of, I'm with you, you know, we're standing together. And then the moment all these folks say, oh yeah, we're coming. They're out the door. They are not there. It really is an image of the fist and then the scurrying away. That is so much what the Republican Party is about. False bravado, fake courage, man. I think I'd run in there even if I didn't have a weapon.
Exactly. And to continually call them out, to observe it and highlight it and call them out on it is what you need to do. And emasculating, I mean, if Josh Hawley's not a masculine man to begin with, so that wasn't too hard to do, but I just hope somebody out there, when you're going to get into this game, the meme game, and Hawley's response was to tweet out a link to his campaign with the fist bump merch, well, perhaps their opponents or someone who doesn't really like Hawley much should, you know, get some merch with the running guy on there as a picture as he's running through on the coffee mugs. I can't wait to see those on the fake Hawley websites.
Sort of a Forrest Gump, run, Josh, run, something like
terrible.
That.
Terrible.
Real quick, Dominic, before we wrap up here for the first segment today, Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, you remember him, apparently he's not been watching the January 6th. He accuses this hearing, this select committee, of engaging in a highly partisan exercise. It's really not getting to the truth of the matter, he claims. Well, truth of Josh Hawley being a bitch, that part was exposed. A little bit more. They're not asking from my standpoint, the most important question. Why was the breach allowed to occur? Why were all the warnings? Why did they all go unheeded? Where was the security? What did Nancy Pelosi know? Yeah. What did Chuck Schumer know? Why didn't they provide proper security when they knew there were going to be thousands, tens of thousands of people protesting and come to the Capitol? Encouraged by your president and Josh Hawley and even you, sir. More devils. It's Friday. Thank God.
Right to jail. Right away.
Yesterday. Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
Far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. It's 420. Light them if you got them and give us a call. 844-967-2789.
Tom, we've got sound and we've got the ability to take your Friday grievances on the phones at 844-967-2789. A couple of thoughts real quick. We're getting tweeted at Devil Radio. Jake tweets, well, first Patrick Marley, now with the Washington Post, sharing a little Rojo love from the Journal Sentinel. A day after the January 6th committee showed members of Mike Pence's security team were scared for their lives, Senator Ron Johnson says the committee isn't focused on the most pressing question. You know, what Nancy Pelosi know and when she know it? Jake Edwards tweets, who was in charge of Homeland Security Committee at the time? And for the 2 weeks after January 6th, at Senator Ron Johnson. So what did Rojo know about the plot at the time? Hashtag testify. Absolutely pathetic stuff from him all around. And then he tags a few people, including us at Devil Radio. We appreciate when you tag us. Yeah, excellent question. What did Rojo know? And when did he know it? And why is he taking this suddenly, you know, he's always been sort of a minimalist and apologist for the January 6th. You know, they were tourists and there's a warm, happy crowd. They were just out kicking tires and having a good time. And you know, they found themselves walking between the velvet ropes, always inside the lines. Nobody outside the lines.
I mean, it's just the worst kind of gaslighting ever. Don't believe your lying eyes.
Well, that's what he would have us believe. And now he's wondering, why didn't the Democrats do more to prevent the insurrection that was directly plotted and incited by the former president?
Plotted, yes, planned, plotted, executed, I mean, and allowed to foment. And he tried to let them roll for 3 hours. And so there's no explanation from Senator Johnson as to why he went from, well, the crowd is mostly happy, lucky-go, to, well, this is terrible, and why did Nancy fail our country? And, of course, we do know some efforts that were made from Trump's team. Christopher Miller, you know, again, bring up the appointed person over at the Pentagon by Trump after he lost the election, right? His memo went out. National Guard, you got to stand down. They had rules of engagement for Trump supporters. So they knew something was going to happen, obviously. And as the testimony and everything is rolled out, we've seen some of the grisly details of it all. But for Republicans and for people like Senator Johnson to wonder this, why are we having this partisan committee? These are all Republicans. The testimony under oath are from Republican appointees and hires, and these are the guys and gals that Trump wanted around him. These are not partisan political enemies. These are the Republicans. These are what, you know, the Republican Party used to be. They stand up for law and order. They tell the truth. They respect the peaceful transfer of power and appreciate the efforts and what it takes for a democracy to function. Those Republicans are the ones, Senator Johnson, are those fellow Republicans of yours the ones that are being partisan? Or is it the few Democrats on there that are allowing them to make their statements?
Well, Dominic, think of how disingenuous this whole thing is.
Of course.
From Johnson's, perhaps, perspective. Because, of course, why didn't Schumer and Nancy Pelosi prevent this? I mean, Donald Trump, specifically, the whole hearing last night was about the inaction of the former president. I mean, he was all down for the hanging of the Mike Pence. He tweeted, you know, he failed us during the insurrection. He was called by multiple congresspeople. Hell, Fox News stars like Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham, everybody said the president must act. So if you're going to throw shade at Nancy Pelosi, what about your guy? Because you're married to him now. And Ron, last night they played the videotape. Trump wasn't ready to throw him over after the violence. He was abrasive. Let's just play some of the supercut. I think we got some sound here. If there's time, let's start playing. Cut number one, Donald Trump from the J6 hearing.
Addressing the heinous attack yesterday.
This is and his to those who January 7th law, speech.
You will pay. You do not represent our movement. You do not represent our country. And if you broke the law, you can't say that. I already said you will pay. The demonstrators who infiltrated the Capitol have defied the seat of dust. It's defiled, right? See, I can't see it very well.
No, okay, yeah.
I'll do this. I'm going to do this. Let's go. But this election is now over. Congress has certified the results. I don't want to say the election's over. I just want to say Congress has certified the results without saying the election's over.
That means
over.
It's still over, dude.
Wisconsin trying to get them to decertify the results.
Yeah, right. Now Congress. I didn't say over. So let me see. Don't go to the paragraph before. Okay? I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack yesterday. Yesterday is a hard word for me.
Just take that.
Good. Take the word yesterday, because it doesn't work with the heinous attack on our country. Say on our country. Want to say that?
No.
My only goal was to ensure the integrity of the vote.
I mean, this is how they used to cut The Apprentice, right? They'd let him go in there and take several takes, and then they'd just take little snippets and, you know, try to clean it up, make it broadcast worthy. But we got to see the raw tapes. And He struggled with yesterday.
He seems under the influence of something. The speech was, his speech was not normal. It was that he gets that somewhere, the the thick mouth, the thick tongue kind of thing going on. We've seen him do this before. That sounds like what he was happening, what it was going, was affecting him again during these cuts. But whatever, we know. I mean, he's been accused of being some sort of drug addict. I don't know, but that was not normal. None of this is normal. But if it's up to the MAGAs and up to the GOP, this is now the new normal. Hopefully, justice is listening.
You know, I'll hammer Donald Trump on a lot of points, but enunciation will not be one of them. Not from my perspective. Yeah, I struggle with the words and the talking and the such. Come back. More Devils.
Yesterday's a hard word for me.
I know what's wrong. I just want to hear you say it.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
Devils Advocates Radio Show, the headlines yesterday's, but this show, we're doing it live, I swear to God. Dominic, after the January 6th hearing last night, I watched Stephen Colbert. He did it live last night, had Chris Hayes on from MSNBC. But there was another guy staying up late last night, and, you know, I can't tweet out like he used to, so had to go to the Truthy Socials. But Donald Trump had a lot to say, and he had some vengeance to take last night on a disloyal sleazebag like Mitch McConnell. His takeaway is Mitch McConnell is a disloyal sleazebag. Anyways,
I'm not saying that Trump, and sometimes, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day, right?
It is. 844-967-2789. A little bit of the coverage here. Former President Donald Trump went on a massive tirade late Thursday night. Massive. It was huge, Dom. After the House Select Committee on the January 6th riot concluded their latest public hearing. The end of season one, if you will, Dom. I'm looking forward to season two.
In September.
Got to say goodbye for the summer, but they'll be dropping, back in the fall.
It's going to drop quick, man. More information has come to light, man.
Trump ended his night by trashing Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell as a disloyal sleazebag after the committee displayed irrefutable evidence that the former president did nothing for 3 hours while watching on TV. As rioters stormed the Capitol building, Trump appeared to be trying to place blame everywhere but on his own lap, and included House Speaker Nancy Pelosi in his Truth Social meltdown. Well, at least we know where Ron Johnson sourced his newest attacks on Nancy.
Right.
Before writing, is this the same Mitch McConnell who was losing big in Kentucky and came to the White House to beg me for an endorsement and help? Without me, he would have lost in a landslide, a disloyal sleazebag. I had an election rigged and stolen from me, and our country, the USA, is going to hell. Am I supposed to be happy?
Still out there, man. Still saying it. Still fomenting the coup, man. I mean, this part of the coup, if you talk about the seven spokes of the wheel or all the different strategies, well, this was one of them, the lie. And he's still doing it. He's still engaging in a coup upon this country as we speak.
Dom, there are Trump allies in the state of Wisconsin today. The Republican leader of the assembly committee hearing or city assembly committee on elections is calling for the decertification of the last election, you know, because Donald Trump wants it a little bit more. Trump last night on the Truthy Social, you know, before he went talking about America going to hell in a handbasket, he said this. One, but crooked Hillary Clinton, Stacey Abrams, and many others contested their elections and for far longer than I. Really? You've been going on 2 years or longer. Two, how do they know I watched on TV? Maybe they called the cable company. Three, I never said that to Kevin McCarthy, who came to Mar-a-Lago to say hi. Very early on, the unselects don't say this. So many lies and misrepresentations by the corrupt and highly partisan Unselect Committee. Liz Cheney is a sanctimonious loser. Just sort of randomly throws that out there. Guess it kind of, you know, takes one to know one, Trump. A little bit more. The great state of Wyoming is wise to her. Why not show the tapes or interview those that with evidence challenged the election? And then it's Nancy Pelosi's fault. She turned down the troops. Perhaps she was disengaged, maybe looking for her husband.
I mean,
well, yeah, Trump's never been accused of looking for his spouse.
Unbelievable, man. I mean, they're like third graders.
Well, a little bit more, Dom. You know, Fox News wasn't covering the event, right? They did not
Yeah, we talked about it.
Coverage.
No, so, none. That's Trump BS, Crudy. That's BS.
Well, you know what they did have on? They had Josh Hawley on while they were, you know, kind of casting a little shade at Josh Hawley and his wussy ass for running away from the insurrectionists. He was appearing live on Fox News, you know, their commentary nightly lineup.
Well, and you can't just, if you're going to, you know, rip on Hawley, certainly Fox News is justified too. I mean, look at all those Fox stars that were screaming and texting and trying to get Trump to do something, how this is all unacceptable behind the scenes, right? But then when the camera turns on, and it's all Trump.
I don't think any of them acknowledged that last night during the primetime lineup.
Weird, huh? Funny how that works.
But the interesting part, the ironic part, Trump was forced to watch coverage over on CNN. Yeah,
and how do we know? Because Fox didn't cover it.
Because Fox didn't cover it, and because he went truthy socialin' at CNN last night. A little bit more. Trump also appears to have been watching CNN's coverage because he lashed out at host Jake Tapper, writing, "Big Tapper of CNN is so biased and pathetic, no wonder CNN's ratings are at an all-time low. P.S., almost all Trump-endorsed candidates have won or are winning." He just had to throw that in there for good measure.
Yep.
Eat at Joe's. Best salad bar on the island. 844-967-2789. So you see where his head's at.
Well, we know where his head's at. I mean, this is now where the party is at. They're a bunch of third graders, you know, pulling pigtails on the playground. I mean, this is an embarrassment. It's a freaking joke.
Pigtails? They got bear spray. They'll bear spray your ass, and then they'll beat the cops with their own.
It is
billy clubs.
The petulant lying and complaining about the circumstances of the last election. I mean, he is the leader of the MAGA. He is the leader of the GOP, and this is how he communicates. This is how he talks. So we should not be surprised whatsoever when we start seeing rank and file guys like Josh Hawley raising a fist, and then of course running away when it gets a little too hot in the kitchen. Right?
I see this as sort of the sucker punch party. Republicans, they never would look you in the eye and have a fair fight. But if I was talking to you and looking away, oh, would I get a rabbit punch? Would I get, you know, punched, sucker punched by a Josh Hawley? Oh, yeah, I think so. I think that's about the sort of character they have.
It's even worse than that. They'll lie to some poor schmuck to come out and have them punch you, and then they'll try to deny that they had anything to do with it.
Run away together?
Uh-huh.
Just pump a fist. Hey, punch that guy. I got to go.
The car's
running out back. I got to go.
You know, it's these committees and this conversation and the evidence again and the testimony by you know, true red Republicans, true believers Republicans, you know, and proud Republicans, at least they used to be.
Have we seen a single Democrat testimony wise at the January 6th committee? I don't recall a single Democrat that was played on the video because there were no Democrats serving in the Trump administration, right? All the witnesses were the Trump sycophants. Let's get to the phones. 844-967-2789. Grievances aired here daily, but mostly on Fridays. Dick from Madison, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
Well, that Mark Meadows thing I told you to look for, he must feel really good today after Josh Hawley last night. Kind of takes the heat off.
Right.
Looking at that. But another thing, Johnson, you forgot another thing he described that day. They were jovial. They were jovial. And then one real quick thing with Hawley, I think he has a future, not in politics, in track. I think he could have beat Carl Lewis, Bob Hayes, or Jesse Owens in their time.
I don't know, man. I've seen on some social media postings on Twitter specifically, SBNation.com. Don't know. Just see the screen. Josh Hawley ran a 7.2 in the 40 at the January 6th combine. So someone extrapolated the data and did the math and say Hawley's running a 7.2. And I guess it's in dress shoes, perhaps. So that doesn't seem too fast in a 40. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to get an hourglass in that case. But last but not least, do you think that maybe Bannon will get extra time being the worst dressed inmate?
I don't know how many shirts they allow you to wear up in the pokey, man, but he's going to be over the quota, I'm sure.
I hope he loses his mattress on the first night. thank you, Dick. Dick's always an abrupt ender of conversations. When he's done, he's outie. Dom, apparently the January 6th committee is quite happy about the outcome, the convictions of Steve Bannon. Bannon convicted today on two charges of contempt of Congress. Of course, he was ignoring the subpoenas of the J6 committee. Here is what the select committee posted on the Twitter where Trump's not allowed. The conviction of Steve Bannon is a victory for the rule of law and an important affirmation of the Select Committee's work. As a prosecutor stated, Steve Bannon chose allegiance to Donald Trump over compliance with the law. Just as there must be accountability for all those responsible for the events of J6, anyone who obstructs our investigation into these matters should face consequences. And then shrug emoji. No, I'm kidding. No shrug emoji. No one is above the law, the committee tweeted. Bannon had brazenly predicted he would vigorously fight the charges, but did not testify or call a single witness in his defense. This didn't seem like the misdemeanor from hell, Mr. Bannon. A reporter shouted outside the courthouse, "What happened?"
We have a little sound from the convicted Steve Bannon from the trial, or after the trial, I would assume here. Evan, let's do cut number four. Steve Bannon on the gutless committee. Apparently wanted them to show up.
I only have one disappointment, and that is the gutless members of that show trial committee, the J6 committee, didn't have the guts to come down here and testify in open court.
You didn't have the guts to testify in open court. Right. In your own defense. Why would they come down here to sully their lives with your conviction?
Yeah, talk about a show trial. Again, the gaslight. It's bizarro world. One more from Bannon, cut five.
I stand with Trump and the Constitution, and I will never back off that, ever.
You can stand with Trump or you can stand with the Constitution, but you really can't do both, Steve.
You cannot do both. Both of those things cannot exist at the same time. It's like matter and antimatter, but that's science. Don't worry your pretty little self about it, Steve Bannon.
844-967-2789. No one's ever called him pretty. Mark from the SAC, welcome back. What do you got?
Hey, Mark.
Oh, good Lord. I mean, Steve Bannon, I mean, he should actually read the Constitution and read the American Constitution preamble, not the preamble to the Confederate Constitution or the Articles of Confederation. Currently, it's the U.S. Constitution.
Well, I think Steve Bannon, Mark, and I know you're a smart guy, and I think Steve Bannon is an incredibly smart guy. I think he's very adroit. I think he's very well-read. I think he's far more strategic than most of the Trumpsters. And I think ultimately Bannon thinks somehow he's got the power through a podcast to start the next revolution. I mean, nobody walks out of court after double conviction, seeming that, I'm going to give him hell. Well, of course, you're not going to give him hell. You're going to give him your fingerprints, and then you're going to get booked.
and he's going to go to jail, and he should be going directly to jail. This crap, they can wait till October or whatever to sentence him. No, you can sentence him right away. Put his ass in jail so he can't spin this crap, continually, because the coup is ongoing. I mean, that's what occurs to me, is the coup is ongoing, and there's plenty of Wisconsin politicians participating in it. Janelle Branchon, Robin Voss, fat-ass Gableman. I mean, that they're all, you know, trying to get to keep the coup going. And, I mean, and enough of this stuff. Joe Biden won the election. He's our president. And Joe Biden is, they are fortunate that Joe Biden isn't acting like the tyrant that Janelle Branchon thinks he is. Because otherwise, you know, they would be in a deep, dark hole someplace.
Well, I'd like to see them end up somewhere in the hole 30 days or more.
More?
You know, it's kind of like going to a football game when, you know, your team's down like 9 touchdowns. And the crowd's trying to do the wave, but it keeps sputtering. It's like these are the efforts to decertify. It's like the fourth quarter wave when there's only 19,000 fans left in the stadium and you're down 63-1.
And there seems, man, like, the game is over. They're still sitting in the stadium from a game last year trying to do the wave.
Hey, we won the Rose Bowl in 1996. Decertify the results. Come back, more Devils.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. It's Friday. We air the grievances. You can join us at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I want to turn our attention to the backyard politics, the decertification efforts of the 2020 election. And they've got headlines anew. Janelle Branchon, she heads up what, the Assembly Elections Commission, which has made itself quite a joke. It was already obviously a partisan body, but, you know, when you're calling for decertifications of elections 2 years gone by, you have made yourself something of a laughingstock. As the headline reads, Republican leading Wisconsin's Assembly Elections Committee calls for decertifying Trump's 2020 loss. Oh, she's a bright one. She went out there and met with the cyber ninjas in Maricopa County once.
And do you know who sponsored and paid for that trip? Christina Bob.
She's the OAN chick?
Yes, yes. Funded Janelle Branch's trip out to Arizona through some whatever organization, 501c3 style.
Do you see that OAN got forced off their last cable provider, Verizon?
Oh, too bad.
They're down to, like, local regional cable providers, and they got a big defamation suit coming down the pike from Dominion Software.
Well, the good news is they got all the MyPillow ads. They're probably raking all sorts of money in from that.
I got a joke, but I can't tell it on the air. That one's a little bit dirty. The leader of the Assembly Elections Committee is calling for her colleagues to take the unconstitutional action of decertifying former President Donald Trump's election loss in 2020, a move that prompted her Republican counterpart in the Senate to call for her removal.
It's not an unconstitutional action. It's just, you know, a difference of opinion as to how the Constitution reads, right?
Well, Rep. Janelle Branchon, a Republican from Menominee Falls, who was endorsed by Trump earlier this year, said Friday she was joining Republican candidate for gubernator Tim Ramjam, that's your guy, Rantham, pushed to overturn the last presidential election because tyranny is at Wisconsin's door.
What?
If someone's knocking at the door of tyranny, it's Donald Trump. We've been told for, I quote, Branchon in a statement, we've been told for months now that decertification is impossible, meaning there is no downside to cheating in Wisconsin elections. Other than the fact it's a crime, you would go to jail, you'd be prosecuted. It does happen. I mean, there's always some cheating, and somebody gets prosecuted and goes to jail for it. But you're talking about massive, wide-scale cheating that could only, you know, be the figment of a Republican's imagination, but Trump said it, so it must be true. Anyways, we've been told for months now that decertification is impossible, meaning there's no downside to cheating in Wisconsin elections. How many more times do we need to endure this election injustice?
If just because your guy lost does not mean it's an election injustice.
But she's in the Assembly. She's on the ballot every 2 years. She won on the same election injustice ballot that Trump lost.
Right. Come on. I mean, that's not the point. It's the top of the ticket. I mean, of course, her election, totally fair, totally honest, no cheating, and well-deserved because the Republicans have better candidates and better ideas.
Well, Dominic, even before Trump lost the election in 2020 in Wisconsin, the former president argued, without evidence, voter fraud would be the only way he could lose re-election. And after Joe Biden defeated Trump by about 21,000 votes in Wisconsin, Trump continued to make baseless claims of voter fraud and sought to overturn the loss by throwing out hundreds of thousands of ballots in Democratic-leaning cities. Think, what, Milwaukee and Madison. They did a recount there. And since then, Trump has called on Assembly Speaker Robin Voss to decertify the 2020 election, an idea that legal experts and scholars, including Trump's former campaign attorney and nonpartisan lawyers who work for the state legislature, have said is impossible and unconstitutional. Who's the other guy? Marjorie Taylor Greene's lawyer, right? He was also Gableman's lawyer.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Said that this is an impossible action. We'll come back to it. Voss has rejected such calls from Trump, Ram Jam, and other Wisconsin Republicans to do so. A spokeswoman did not immediately answer whether Branchen, whom he appointed, Voss appointed as chairwoman of the Assembly Elections Committee, should continue to lead the panel. Well, yeah, what do you think, Robin?
No, Crudy, the Republican chairwoman of the Senate's election committee, said Branchen should be removed or stepped down from the committee, a quote from Senator Kathy Bernier, a Republican. Absolutely not. It was a mistake that I think Robin Voss has admitted to about asking whether Branchen should continue leading the election committee. And she will not ever be the head of election committee ever again. Bernier said the continued focus on 2020 through the baseless claims hurts voter confidence needlessly. But that's kind of the point. Her quote, there is absolutely no proof that Donald Trump actually got more votes in the state of Wisconsin. So even if you could, even if there were a provision legally to decertify an election, the proof has not been provided to even do it. If there was even a provision that allowed for it. There is not enough proof.
You mean more than zero proof?
More than zero. Molly Beck reporting at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The entirety of Janelle Branchen's quote here, I'd like to repeat some of this. Fair and honest elections are the cornerstone of our democracy, and we know that the 2020 presidential election was neither fair nor transparent. A handful of rogue clerks, along with the Wisconsin Election Commission, decided they would subvert our election process with private money, drop boxes, illegal use of indefinitely confined provision, and elimination of special voting deputies. We will never know the outcome of the 2020 presidential election. Tyranny is at Wisconsin's door. We've been told for months now that decertification is impossible, meaning there is no downside to cheating in Wisconsin's elections. How many more times do we need to endure this election injustice? I will join Rep. Ramthan's call for decertification as I see no other means of justice for Wisconsin voters. We have been unable to stop WEC, a tyrannical agency that has created voting guidance to clerks while subverting the legislature and has no regard for existing laws. Our democracy is in jeopardy. According to the Wisconsin Assembly Chair of the Election Commission, Janelle Branchen, she is a rep from, I believe, what?
Menominee Falls.
Menominee Falls, sure. Thank you.
Bernier said it was lunacy. She, of course, is the Republican senator that heads up the Senate Elections Committee. And one more quote from the senator, now outgoing Senator Bernier, because she doesn't want to serve in anybody that would have Janelle Branchen, I'm pretty sure. I find it hypocritical at best that Donald Trump is going around endorsing all sorts of people, including Janelle Branchen, in a state where he has no confidence in the electoral process. Come back with us, the Devils Advocates Radio Show. It's the Friday edition. We air the grievances. Yours could be next. And some more J6 recap. Bannon's convicted. Holly's a wussy. And, your thoughts as well. Hour two, the happier happy hour, is next.
This election was rigged. This election is a total fraud.
You lied to me.